This week on the Electronic Intifada podcast, at least 125 Palestinian political prisoners remain on hunger strike in Israeli jails, protesting their detention without charge or trial, while Israeli forces continue to collectively punish Palestinians across the occupied West Bank, arresting nearly 300 since last week after the disappearance of three Israeli settlers. We'll talk with Gavin Kelly of Adamir, the prisoners' advocacy and human rights group, about the current situation and Israel's plans to begin force-feeding the hunger strikers.
Israel at this very moment, I am sure, is preparing for the torture of Palestinian hunger strikers via force-feeding. And this torture will take place on an industrial scale.
Also, we'll speak with Bassel Farage in Jerusalem, whose father, Abdul Razak Farage, is one of the Palestinian administrative detainees on hunger strike.
This hunger strike is not for the prisoners themselves. They are doing it for me and for the other Palestinian people, because really this policy can reach any Palestinian at any time in any place. Our moments of joy have been stolen away from us because my father has been stolen away from us.
I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, associate editor for the Electronic Intifada in Oakland. At least 125 Palestinian prisoners are currently on hunger strike in protest of their administrative detention, arbitrarily held in Israeli jail without charge or trial. The hunger strike, which was launched on April 24th, is the longest in Palestinian history, according to the Palestinian prisoners' advocacy organization, Adamir. Adamir states that, quote, while it is difficult to determine exact numbers due to Israeli-imposed restrictions and the fluid nature of the strike, it is thought that as many as 250 detainees and prisoners are now on hunger strike. The Electronic Intifada reported that last week, doctors at Kaplan Hospital, one of nine Israeli civilian hospitals where approximately 80 Palestinian prisoners on hunger strike have been transferred, have threatened to force-feed the administrative detainees on hunger strike if they lose consciousness. Meanwhile, a bill that would allow doctors to force-feed hunger-striking prisoners is making its way through Israel's parliament, the Knesset. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has pledged to expedite the passing of the legislation. Hospitalized prisoners told Adamir's lawyers that the doctors threatened to, quote, introduce food to the body through the nose into the stomach without taking consent after shackling them. In testimonials gathered by Adamir, prisoners on hunger strike say that they are being subjected to cruel treatment. Quote, the hunger strikers in hospitals are shackled to their bed by hands and legs for 12 hours a day and bound by one leg for the remaining 12 hours. They are required to seek permission from the guards to use the restroom and are not allowed to use it at night. Due to their constant shackling, the detainees are forbidden from walking in the rooms, despite the recommendation from the Ministry of Health to do so to keep their blood circulating. Meanwhile, Israeli forces have conducted mass arrest campaigns and imposed closures and other forms of collective punishment in Palestinian cities, towns, and villages across the occupied West Bank following the disappearance of three Israeli settlers last week. Adamir states in a press release sent out June 19th that, quote, a siege has been imposed on the 300,000 residents of Hebron. 800 homes have been raided and one home demolished. Three Palestinians, including an 8-year-old child, were injured in Hebron when the Israeli army used explosives to enter a home. Over 125 roads have been closed across the West Bank. 26 flying or temporary checkpoints have been installed in addition to the hundreds of fixed checkpoints currently in place. A curfew has been imposed on Nablus, and nightly raids occur in all major cities in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem. 24 civil society organizations have been raided and shut down. One young man, 20-year-old Ahmed Sabarin, was killed in Jalazon refugee camp during these raids, and dozens have been injured in raids and clashes. Birzeit University was also attacked by the Israeli army, with the Palestinian university security personnel locked in a room in an attempt to arrest students. Homes and schools have been occupied by the Israeli army in Hebron and Nablus, and settlers continue to attack Palestinians with impunity, including the attempted abduction of a Palestinian child. Adamir also reports that 8 members of the Palestinian Legislative Council have been arrested, including the head of the Palestinian Legislative Council. One member of the council has since been released. In addition, on June 16th, six Palestinians were injured at Kalandia checkpoint near Ramallah, including Yazan Yaqub, a 17-year-old who was, according to reports, shot in the chest and abdomen with a live bullet, critically wounding him. On Tuesday, I spoke with Gavin Kelly, coordinator of the advocacy unit of Ad-Damir, the Palestinian Prisoner Support and Human Rights Association based in Ramallah. I asked him to give us an update on how many Palestinian prisoners are still on hunger strike in Israeli jails, and if he could talk about the general medical conditions for them right now.
For sure. Well, at the moment, we're on a 51st day of hunger strike. The hunger strike began on the 24th of April of this year, when about 90 or 100 Palestinian administrative detainees joined a mass hunger strike in protest of their continued administrative detention. The situation inside the prisons is pretty bad in terms of their medical, their medical situation. They're suffering from a range of different ailments, including dizziness, loss of consciousness, liver problems, internal bleeding, obviously loss of weight, etc. So it's really, we've really reached a very critical moment on the 55th day.
Gavin, can you talk about Israel's force-feeding bill? Netanyahu actually pointed to the U.S.'s treatment of hunger-striking detainees in Guantanamo to justify his plan to force-feed prisoners in Israeli jails. What are the ethical and medical concerns Ad-Damir has here with this force-feeding plan, and has it already started?
I mean, this is probably the most worrying development of the current hunger strikes. If you look at the hunger strikes that have been going on since the last couple of years, I mean, since the second half of 2011, not one day has passed where, there hasn't been at least one Palestinian hunger strike on hunger strike. And the Israelis have failed to deal with the hunger strikes. And they see, we consider that their way to deal with the hunger strikes is through introducing force feeding. Now, if they introduce force feeding, and it's quite likely we think that this is going to happen, and in fact we think that it might even happen as quickly as next week. If this happens, it's going to have serious implications for the health of the current hunger strikers, but also future hunger strikes. Yeah, force feeding is never medically acceptable. It's torture. It's considered torture by the World Medical Association, as per the Malta Declaration and the Tokyo Declaration. And it's also considered torture by the Israeli Medical Association, who have in fact instructed their members not to partake in force feeding. But Netanyahu has turned around and basically said, we will find the physicians. So whatever the Israeli Medical Association says, we'll find the physicians. And I have no doubt that this will happen. So if you consider that we have 125, we documented 125 people on hunger strike, but in actual fact we think the figure is a lot higher, almost, it could be 250, 300 people. If you consider that this bill could be introduced into law as early as next week, Israel at this very moment, I am sure, is preparing for the mass for the torture of Palestinian hunger strikers via force feeding. And this torture will take place on an industrial scale. This is one option that is could happen, force feeding. There are other options that we can discuss probably in a moment, but in terms of the force feeding, we're very, very worried about what's going to happen over the next week or 2 weeks.
What are those options?
Yeah, well, just leading into the other options. So the first option is the introduction of force feeding. Okay, this is one possible scenario. The other scenario is that the Israelis will let the prisoners die, we think there's a strong possibility that this will happen, given the recent media reports in the Israeli media, where the Shin Bet, the head of the Shin Bet, has advised the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and said basically it was a mistake to negotiate with the hunger strikers in 2012, and advised him not to negotiate with the hunger strikers. He feels that the reaction, should a hunger striker or a number of hunger strikers die, he feels that the reaction is they will be able to manage it. The mass protests in the West Bank and the rockets that will come from Gaza, they're basically playing a game of Russian roulette. But they feel that they're able to you know, deal with it. So these are the two of the most. And then obviously the other option is that the hunger strikers will call off the strike. I don't think this is going to happen. I think they seem very, very committed. And they're protesting their continued detention without charge or trial, and they feel very strongly about it. As I said, we're on day 55. Anybody can die from this moment. So we're really, really at a critical stage.
Gavin, Ademir has made a list of demands on behalf of the hunger strikers in Israeli jails, including demands to the Ramallah-based Palestinian Authority and to the International Committee of the Red Cross. Can you talk about those demands and if they have been met with any response yet?
Yeah, for sure. Well, in terms of the ICRC, what we wanted to do was the ICRC to play a more active role, come out and publicly condemn Israel's use of administrative detention, and also highlight the situation of the hunger strikers. This hasn't happened so far. And in fact, we're very disappointed that this hasn't happened so far, given the fact that they came out after 3 days after the recent disappearance of the three illegal Israeli settlers. It seems that the ICRC treats Israelis different to Palestinians. That seems very, very clear, and we're very disappointed with that. In terms of the Palestinian Authority, Palestinian Authority, the hunger strikers themselves will say the Palestinian Authority has not played the role that it should, and it's not a priority. While we have been working to a certain degree with the former Ministry of Detainees and Ex-Detainees to a certain degree, a lot more can be done in terms of the Palestinian Authority. At this stage, to be quite honest, when you consider that we have between 125 and 250 people on their deathbed, it should be everybody's priority, and it's simply not the case.
Well, finally, Gavin, you mentioned the disappearance of the three settlers in the West Bank earlier this week. The Israeli military has done massive sweeping arrest campaigns. They've arrested approximately 200 Palestinians across the West Bank in just the past few days, including 8 members of the Palestinian Legislative Council. A 20-year-old young man was shot in Jalazon refugee camp, I believe it was Monday. On June 16th, Palestinians were injured at Kalandia checkpoint near Ramallah, including a 17-year-old boy. What's Ademir's response to the closures and sweeping arrest campaigns, including the arrest of Palestinian politicians?
Absolutely. We could condemn this wholeheartedly. This is a clear example of collective punishment against the Palestinian people. The disappearance of the three Israeli settlers has led to another attempt by the Israelis to crush Hamas. When you consider that we've had 200 arrests since Thursday, 80% of these are Hamas related, and they're also taking it a lot further. The Israeli officials have come out in the last 48 or 24 hours and said this is basically just the beginning. We're going to crush Hamas, and they're using it as a pretext to do exactly that. It's very convenient that it comes so close after the reconciliation and whatever, 4, 5 or 6 months before the elections in Palestinian elections. Obviously Israel doesn't want Hamas to play a role, and this is its response. I mean, it's nobody surprised of the response, and in fact we think it's going to be a lot worse. But yet again, Israel will do whatever it wants, free in the knowledge that nobody, it can do so without any repercussions or response from anybody, apart from the lame statements that we continuously get from the European Union and the United States of America and the United Nations. So things are going to get worse. I mean, the next week is going to be quite difficult. Already things are difficult, and they're also talking about putting pressure on the prisoners as well, as a means to pressure Hamas. They're also talking about placing the 200 people that have been arrested over the last 4 days in administrative detention. So within a few days, if this does happen, we're going to have the administrative detainees go from about approximately 200 to 400. And they're also talking about transferring the Hamas hunger strikers at the moment to Gaza. This is the Israeli response, and this is just the beginning. So you can imagine what the future holds.
Well, Gavin Kelly, we're definitely going to be watching the situation very, very carefully over the next week and few weeks, of course. That's the voice of Gavin Kelly. He's the coordinator of the advocacy unit at Ad-Damir, the Prisoner Support and Human Rights Association based in the West Bank. Gavin, thank you so much for being with us on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
عصفور طل من الشباك وقال لي يا نونو خبيني عندك خبيني دخلك يا نونو خبيني عندك خبيني دخلك يا نونو قلت له انت من وين قال لي من حدود السما قلت له جاي من وين قال لي من بيت الجيران قلت له خايف من مين قال لي من القفص هربان قلت له ريشاتك وين قال لي فرفطها الزمان عصفور طل من الشب وقال لي يا نونو خبيني عندك خبيني دخلك يا نونو
We continue our reporting on the hunger-striking prisoners in Israeli jails. Abdul Razak Faraj is a father, husband, and the administrative and financial director of the Union of Agricultural Work Committees. He has been arrested and sent to prison multiple times by Israel since 1985 and has spent nearly 14 years in Israeli prisons, seven of which in administrative detention without charge or trial. Last February, Israeli forces once again arrested Abdul Razak Faraj, and he has been on hunger strike since April. I spoke with Abdul Razak's son, Basil, on Monday. Basil recently graduated from Earlham College in Richmond, Indiana, with a BA in Peace and Global Studies. He joined us from Jerusalem. I began by asking him to tell us who his father is and why he's on another hunger strike right now.
Yeah, my father, Abdul Razak Faraj, is the administrative and financial director of the Union of Agricultural Work Committees. He is 51 years old. He is from Al Jalazon refugee camp, which is a refugee camp in Ramallah city. And this refugee camp was established in 1948. My father's family fled from Lutz city, during the Nakba. My father, he's 51 years old. I always describe him as a very silent, a silent man. But behind that silence, there's a lot of determination, a lot of love, a lot of motivation, a lot of devotion for the cause of Palestine and for justice, in its purest sense. I would say that because he's my father, but I think a lot of people agree in Palestine that he is one of those people who have devoted most of their life all of their life actually for Palestine, but actually one of the few ones who have remained true, true to his principles, as things have changed. And I'm not sure how much detail I should go here, but I think a reflection of that would be, the current hunger strike he is undertaking along with the other, nearly 125 Palestinian administrative detainees. My father has entered his 48th day on the hunger strike, and I will talk about it in a second. It's not the first time he goes on a hunger strike, but this one in particular, it's his longest. And every message we get from him we only actually get a message, but it's been a message of hope and inspiration. We feel like we are the prisoners, not him. But we know at the same time that his body is very weak, that he has lost more than 12 kilograms of his weight. We know that he is in a hospital bed right now and probably shackled, to the hospital bed. But still, he manages to, send us messages of hope and inspiration, even from these circumstances. I think, a summary of this man would be, he's a fighter for justice, but at the same time, he has an immense love for life that, it's that is making him do this. And I think we've never doubted that for a second, that his love for life is why he's doing this right now. And I think, you know, he and other hunger strikers, of course, are an inspiration to all of us.
Basil, as you said, this was not the first time your father has been in Israeli jail. He was jailed for 6 years in 1985. He was arrested 5 more times over 20 years from 1994 to this past February. Each time he was put in administrative detention. And this is also not the first time that he's been on hunger strike to protest his detention without charge or trial. Can you talk about his most recent arrest last February? What happened and why he's on hunger strike again right now?
Yeah, so he was arrested on the 25th of February of this year. The Israelis came to our house at 2:30 a.m. A lot of them, they came, you know, a lot of the military, the soldiers came into the house. Usually they would take longer, but this time they came to the house, they woke up my dad. And they said, come with us. So he asked him, where is the officer in command? I want to see my arrest warrant. And he said, we don't have one, just come with us. But, you know, I mean, it's usual. He knew that he's going to be put under administrative detention because that's how he has been arrested, as you have mentioned, for the past 5 times. But this arrest is different because, as you have noted, he is on a hunger strike. And he's doing this now with other hunger strikers because they are demanding an end to administrative detention. This is a policy that reaches every Palestinian. It could place me and any other Palestinian on the street under arrest for an indefinite amount of time without charge, without trial, based on information that the Israeli, you know, commander and the Israeli judge as well notes to as, you know, the secret file. And, you know, the lawyer or the prisoner, neither the lawyer nor the prisoner can see the secret file. And so they are unable to, you know, to revoke or to use, you know, to kind of say that these accusations are not correct because they cannot see them. And so they are, you know, on this hunger strike, they are demanding an end to the use of this policy that defies international law. Under international law, this is only allowed under, you know, emergency situations and only when the prisoner are allowed to see why they are being held. And only when the prison, when they are subject to a definite amount of time. Clearly, Israel is in defiance of all these norms. And this is not unusual for the Israeli state, but in this policy in particular, it's a cornerstone for the Israeli occupation. It has allowed to the, it has, you know, led to the arrest of more than thousands of Palestinians over since 1967 and onwards. I mean, yesterday they arrested 150 people from Hebron and Nablus, and these were, you know, put under this policy. And so that's why they are being, that's why they are doing this hunger strike right now. And I think it's also very important to note for the audience that this policy, this hunger strike is not for the prisoners themselves. They are doing it for me and for the other Palestinian people, because really this policy can reach any Palestinian at any time in any place. This is different than the other hunger strikes in the past, because the other ones in the past were, you know, the prisoners would demand, for example, one extra TV channel, or they would demand having an extra book allowed per month. But this one is a political hunger strike. And that's why we are worried as, you know, as the family of hunger strikers, because we know that the Israeli state is not, you know, showing any concern for the lives of these hunger strikers and that they are continuously violating their rights. So the reports that we have had, Nora, is that the hunger strikers were shackled to the hospital beds, their right hand with their left leg, and so to, you know, to not allow movement. Some of the hunger strikers in hospitals, which the numbers say that there are 70 hunger strikers in hospitals, some of them have had to drink dirty water from dirty tap water, which led to a lot of bleeding in their stomachs. We have also got reports that when my father was in isolation, his cell was raided, and he was, you know, violently beaten. Even though he's in a strike, the lawyer told us that they are not allowed a 1 hour walk outside. Usually, they get an hour of walking outside, and they are being denied that. So, I think I would assume that they are in their cell or the hospital beds 24 hours a day. We have all, you know, as you know, or as you might know, family visits are denied. And were denied since the first day of the hunger strike. We have not been able to see my father or the other hunger strikers for that matter since the beginning of the hunger strike. The Israeli state, all these measures are punitive measures that the Israeli state is using to pressure the hunger strikers to end their hunger strike. But the hunger strikers are very close to their second month. I mean, and you know they are clearly defying this punitive measures, but on the humanitarian level, I mean it's a defiance of international law and international norms. I mean, why are we not permitted to see our loved ones? You know, I mean, they are on the bench of death. You know, a lot of them, we have got reports that they are on their hospital beds. They are bleeding. They are nauseous. Some of them might face paralysis, full body paralysis. And so, you know, we're very concerned about this. And the Israeli state, again, even with their force feeding bill, they are showing no sign of listening to the hunger strikers and no intention to negotiate with them. And it's very worrying for us as families of hunger strikers.
Basil, what kind of impact has the repeated arrest and administrative detention and now this hunger strike had on you and your family?
I mean, you know, it's this policy in particular, it's very cruel. Again, it's nothing unusual from the Israeli occupation, but in particular, this policy have put us in a continuous state of waiting. We do not know when my father is going to be released. We do not know when we're going to be able to see him again in the house. Our moments of joy have been stolen away from us because my father has been stolen away from us during my graduation, my brother's graduation, my cousin's first, you know, son, my cousin's wedding. I mean, there's goes on and on. And, you know, again, this is the daily life of a lot of Palestinians. But this policy in particular, because it's very cruel, it intentionally leaves us in this state. I mean, the Israeli state could easily trial those prisoners or put them or release them, but they intend to put us in this state because this policy does not only target the hunger strike and the prisoners, but it also targets the families. And it's also very important. I think my family especially has suffered immensely from this because, as you have noted, since 1994, my father has been arrested five times. And all of them under this policy. I remember in 2002 when his second arrest came through, he was arrested for 4 years and a half under this policy. And I remember clearly waiting next to the phone. All my family would gather, my uncles, my cousins, my mother, my brother, all of us. We would gather, you know, an hour before his release date, and then we would get a phone call, sometimes 1 minute before, that says, "I'm sorry," from my father. "I'm sorry, I have got 6 other months," and it's, you know. I could sense the sadness in his voice because he, you know, he wants to tell us I'm gonna be with you really soon, but then, you know, he gets this this detention renewal warrant sometimes seconds before his, you know, arrest is over. I think it has a lot of psychological impact on the family and on the prisoner as well, and the Israelis well intend to do so. It's part of their systematic violations of Palestinians' rights. And I think that's why the hunger strikers are doing this now, because they are fed up with it. And most importantly, as they have told us in their messages, they are doing this for us, for the Palestinian people, because, you know, it is a cornerstone to the Israeli occupation and it has to end. And I think, you know, I mean, they are putting their lives on the front line for this and they should be praised. They should be, I mean, they are a cause of inspiration for all of us, but, you know, all of us should at least give 5 minutes of our time to understand why they are doing this, because they are really showing us the true meaning of life and the true meaning of sacrificing, not for themselves, but for someone else. And I think this reminds me, Nora, of the Northern Irish hunger strike. You know, the famous Bobby Sands, he said, "Our revenge will be the laughter of our children." And, you know, we do not want our loved ones. We don't want our loved ones to come back dead. We want my father to come back walking the same way he left and the same way he always leaves the house. You know, he walks. He leaves the house as confident as a tree is. You know, as an olive tree in Palestine. But it's also, you know, but we also believe 100% in their determination. It's very worrying that they might come back dead, and we do not want to come back, you know, to carry them on our shoulders. We want to hug them, we want to kiss them, we want to live the left, you know, whatever left moments we have with them. And, you know, I think I mentioned Bobby Sands because, you know, it's a hunger strike that is very similar to the one that's happening now. It was a political hunger strike, and it is a cause of worry because Margaret Thatcher's government did the same thing. They give no concern for the lives of the hunger strikers. I mean, that makes us very worried. But I think an uplifting message from my father was in his earlier arrest in 2012, he sent us a message when he was on hunger strike. And he said, my determination reaches the furthest point of the sky. And we believe that the determination, all of them, is even higher than the furthest point of the sky. And we have no doubt on that. You know, it's very hard for all of the families of the hunger strikers, I think, at this stage, especially when there's not a lot of attention. And that's why I want to thank you guys for doing this. But I would urge the listeners to, you know, there's not much we could do from afar, but, you know, a couple of things that we could do is keep in mind that what these people are doing is a very inspirational thing that could help us athletes, you know, find their own ways of fighting. Because, you know, I would actually go far and say they are doing this for humanity, because they are teaching us what life really means. And I think the Palestinian prisoners in general are teachers in that sense. You know, they love life so much that they have given so much of their life away just for me and for other Palestinians to be able to live their life. And I think, you know, that is the true meaning of justice and love.
That's Basel Faraj. He's talking about his father, Abdulrazak Faraj, currently on hunger strike, protesting his administrative detention in an Israeli jail. And Basel, thank you so much for being with us on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thank you so much, Nora, and the listeners. Thank you.
And that's it for our weekly Electronic Intifada podcast. For news, information, cultural features and reviews, and pointed opinion and analysis by our team of writers, visit us online at electronicintifada.net. You can also post comments and sign up for our daily email digest. Follow us on Twitter at Intifada. Radio stations are free to use this podcast, and we're now on iTunes, so be sure to subscribe and have the EI podcast automatically downloaded. On behalf of all of us at the Electronic Intifada, thank you for listening.